Houston, go.
Houston, flight is go.
Pilot, go.
STM is go.
Safety conference, go.
FDE is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director, NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. 21st of September, Tuesday night edition of the show. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Craig, and how are you this gloomy, rainy day?
Gloomy, rainy for you, maybe. Not so much it here is. In North Central Nebraska. Pretty nice day, really.
Okay. This was not a picture postcard, you know, Florida day by any means.
not what they call a Chamber of Commerce day in South Florida.
No, at all.
Well, you know, you guys are kind of what, at the end of the rainy season?
Yeah, we're coming up at the end. You know, it's still hurricane season technically through November, but it's really, nothing really happens then. October might be the last hurricane that even has a chance of coming here. But by October, the nights start cooling off. And once that happens, the days start cooling off pretty fast. Not temperature-wise, but humidity-wise.
Well, that's got to be kind of a welcome relief.
Very, but I didn't find this year that hot, honestly.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. We had plenty of hot weather here, but we're kind of into that fall mode now.
Okay.
You know, I spent a little time on the road over the weekend, and leaves are beginning to turn colors in my part of the world.
They?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, which is always kind of nice to see, you know. And this morning, I think when I got up this morning at about 2:30, it was, I want to say it was 43 or 44 degrees.
Wow.
Something like that. So, yeah, we're into fall. We're into fall now.
No, we won't see that till probably December.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we're you know, up north a little bit from where you are. So, you know, things tend to set in here a little bit earlier as far as fall is concerned. You know, I know we're not there on the calendar quite yet. We still got, what, a day to go, or maybe it's sometime tonight that fall begins, but.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Forget about that.
Yeah, but anyway, you know, pretty nice day. I got to spend some time on the road over the weekend, got to catch up with a cousin of mine over the weekend. I had not seen her in 30 years.
Wow.
And boy, it was just like no time had passed at all. And we had a great time. Yeah, we had a great time. So, you know, it was all good. Look, folks, we got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight. A little bit later in the show, a little bit less than an hour from right now, Diane's going to be talking about treason, mutiny, and lies told. I'm going to go first tonight with Millie, a 4-star threat to national security. Now, the way this is going to play out tonight, we've both taken on General Milley. I'm going to give kind of a background overview, if you will, and then Diane's going to pick up from that with some of the real specifics.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's the way it's going to kind of play out tonight, and we hope you're able to stick around because that situation with Mark Milley is not going to go away.
No.
And no. It shouldn't. So, you know, we're gonna delve into that.
Well, they're gonna try to sweep it under the rug, as we all know.
Oh yeah, they try to sweep everything under the rug. You know, you're gonna have to have a bigger rug, because right now the Biden administration is trying to hide Mount Everest under an area
That's
rug.
True. You know, That's very true.
None of this stuff is going away, and it's all getting worse. Let's start with quick hitters tonight. And one of the most interesting people we get to talk about from time to time on the show is Elon Musk. And last week, SpaceX, that's Elon Musk's little hobby, they sent four astronauts that weren't really astronauts, they're civilians, all four of them, into space for a three-day trip.
Yes, very interesting trip. However, you know, normally a president will say something about the space program, whether it's the private or NASA itself, but Biden, of course, kept his mouth shut. And there was a reason why he kept his mouth shut, and Elon Musk's response to why is really funny.
Well, I mean, look, this is the first time in human history that four people have been sent to space without one single person on board being a professional astronaut. So this was a huge step for private spaceflight, right? And like you said, Diane, you would think that somebody in Biden's position would, you know, call to congratulate Elon Musk or call and congratulate the four that went on the trip. But no. No, he didn't. And one of Elon's 60 million Twitter followers, which means that between Elon Musk and myself, we have just over 60 million followers. One of them said, you know, Biden hadn't said anything. Why do you think that is? And Elon Musk's response, Diane, was priceless.
He actually said, "He's still sleeping." Now remember what time the astronauts came back, you know, so that's kind of silly. But you also have to remember that Elon Musk is not really a Biden fan. No. So it was a really good zinger that he gave him. But what was special about this flight is that they raised millions of dollars for St. Jude Children's Hospital, which, if not everybody knows, is the hospital that treats children with cancer at no charge.
And, I mean, by millions of dollars, they raised over $200 million.
Yes.
Okay, and $50 million of that came from Elon Musk himself.
That's amazing. That's amazing. This is a really good man, and he should have been given the shout out.
Absolutely. When Musk found out how much money was being raised for St. Jude Children's Hospital, Elon Musk literally tweeted out, "Put me down for $50 million."
Yeah.
And he made good on it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. He's one of the good ones, folks.
Very
interesting. A little bit different than Jeff Bezos, that's for sure.
Yeah, you know, there are some people that just, for whatever reason, they just don't like Elon Musk. You know, maybe he rubs them the wrong way. Bezos rubs me the wrong way. I find Elon Musk to be eccentrically fascinating.
I do too. He's a brilliant man. He's a self-made man. I think his SpaceX program and everything he does is phenomenal. He even is working on something to do with solar roofs.
Yeah, which is really kind of a neat deal. Now, he did say, I got to bring this up, he did say after the four got back on Saturday night, they are going to make some upgrades to the Crew Dragon bathroom.
Ah, okay.
He said apparently there are a few privacy issues.
Well, I would imagine, yes.
I mean, you know, you're in a fairly confined space. I mean, it's, you know, it's not like you can go into another room and shut the door. And but he said they're going to make some upgrades and make that a little bit more private. And then he was also kind of joking around a little bit, talking about adding a Starlink modem and something else. Can't remember what the other thing was now, but, you know, we're going to make a few upgrades.
Yeah. Yeah. But the best thing about Elon Musk, I kind of think of him as a modern-day Renaissance man.
You know, that's a great way of putting it. That really is. He has a vision.
Yeah.
You know?
And he's into so many different things, and everything he touches seems to turn to gold. And I'm not just saying monetary gold. I'm saying he's doing things that make a difference.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so it's fun to watch. It's fun to follow SpaceX because you never know. And as I understand it, they're getting ready in the next few days, I think, to do a static fire test of the heavy lift. And that's one that will take Starship all the way to orbit. So
Right. He needs to get the thing into orbit, really, now. That should be his next goal.
Well, it is, and I think they're planning to have that thing in orbit before the end of this year. So,
I hope so.
We'll see. Gas prices. Diane, you and I were talking about gas prices when we were chatting back and forth earlier today. Your gas prices down there are higher than ours here in Nebraska.
Well, I asked my husband about that. Yesterday he paid $4.36 for a high test, and it was at a specific Shell station that is known for its highest prices, but he was like on bone dry, so he had no choice.
Right.
But the week before he had paid, I believe it was $3.75 a gallon. So it's not as bad as I first thought. It's not like California, and we tell you guys how much they're paying, it's a shock. But you know something? I have no sympathy for California. They're whining now, yet they voted Newsom back in.
Yeah. Well, they're going to get what they deserve for doing
exactly.
That.
Exactly.
Now, but even with the adjusted price, what you just mentioned there in South Florida, here in Nebraska, we're still quite a bit lower than what you are.
That's high test. Regular is lower.
Yeah, but the high test here is $3.39.
It's not that much of a difference.
Okay. And when I was on my road trip, I was apparently closer to the fuel source. I don't know why, but I was getting regular unleaded gas for $2.85. And I thought, man, I'm getting a great deal. But out in California, they've got the highest gas prices in the nation. And there's a gas station in Mendocino that is charging $6.74 a gallon.
Yes.
Oof.
And an app called Gas Buddy actually named them as the highest price gas in the country in June. The average price for gas in California is $4.39, over a dollar more than, let's say, this time last year. And the national average for regular, we're talking about, is still around $3.20.
Well, and part of the deal is, from what I understand, a supply issue. And that comes as no surprise because Biden's been begging OPEC and the Arab nations to pump more oil because he's shutting down oil production over here.
Yeah, real smart. Such a smart man. Aren't you glad he's our president?
7 months ago, Diane, we were energy independent.
I know. We were actually giving out gas, you know, to countries that needed it. Now it seems like we're begging for everything.
I mean, good Lord. And folks, this isn't going to come down. I mean, normally, you know, you figure, well, you know, the end of the travel season, end of vacation season, gas always comes down a little bit. Don't count on it this year.
No. But you know something? I really don't feel sorry for California.
Well, I don't either, but I mean, everybody's paying more. It's not just California. Everybody's paying more than they did a year ago. Everybody, we are. I mean, I was getting gas at $2 a gallon a year ago.
Oh no, we never were here. But then none of our cars take regular. We have to use high test and all.
Well,
of them.
I know you keep saying that, but even high test here a year ago was like 214, 218, something like that. And you know, regular unleaded was $2. And you know, so it's up everywhere. That's the point.
Oh,
it's up everywhere.
Yeah, no, everything's up thanks to Biden.
Yeah.
Except him. He's the one sleeping, and we're all, you know, suffering for it.
Yeah, if you wonder why the price of groceries is going up, it's because it costs more to get the groceries to the store.
Yeah. And it's very sad. He is slowly destroying the American economy.
Yeah, it's a mess. But you're right. California gets what they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there are people leaving California. I don't know how they can afford the gas for the trucks, but they're leaving.
I just hope, you know, if they come to Florida, you're welcome to come to Florida, but keep your liberal politics out of here. We don't want it.
Right. The Department of Homeland Security is now lashing out and threatening to punish the Border Patrol because the Border Patrol is trying to do their job.
Yeah, most of it has to do with the Border Patrol stopping the illegal Haitians because, you know, you got to figure, let's see, Haiti's an island way, way far away, and suddenly these Haitians have made it across the ocean into South and Central America and are knocking on our doors. No. You know what? They're all men, most of them that are here coming at the border. They care so much about freedom. Let them try to get their own country free. I'm really sick and tired of America being the world's garbage pail.
Well, and that's what it's come to. Now, the Biden administration is... Well, they claim they're sending the Haitians back to Haiti, but the reality of the situation is there's 14,000 of them underneath a bridge in Texas, and so far the Biden administration has only sent a few hundred, maybe 1,000 of them back at most, and you know, others are just moving them around different places in the country, just like they're doing with all the rest of the illegal aliens.
Well, it's their, you know, it's their voting base. You know, people don't bite the hand that feeds them, so it's their voting base. These people that are coming in now, they're dirty, they're disease-ridden. You know, I'm going to say things that we all know is true, but for political correctness, we don't say it. These people are the cause of the increase in COVID cases now here in this country.
You're right.
Every place they've been distributed to has seen a rise in COVID. These are not legal immigrants who are welcome from anywhere.
You know,
this
Haiti
is the studs of countries.
Haiti is 1% vaccinated for all the difference that makes, because apparently the vaccines don't keep you from getting COVID, and as Diane pointed out last week. You know, but we don't know how many of these people, how many of these 14,000 under the bridge have COVID. There's no way of knowing.
Right.
Nobody's doing any testing on them. But, you say, well, these are their future voters. Well, let me ask you a question, because Haiti is not all that far from Cuba. Right?
No, it's on the western side. It's at the other end of the tip there.
Cuba, Cubans are not the Democrat voting future.
No, not
are
at all.
Are Haitians. The reason I ask,
most Haitians do vote Democrat.
Are you sure?
Because
the reason I ask is the Biden administration seems to be in a hurry to send the Haitians back to Haiti, but they're in no hurry to send the Guatemalans and the Salvadorans and the Mexicans and they're back to their countries.
No. Well, what started this whole brouhaha about the Haitians? There were pictures that came out of our border agents trying to gather up these Haitians. And they were putting out false things, saying the lines that they see were actually whips to whip the Haitians. No, they're not. They're the horse's reins that as the horse and the rider is bending down to capture the Haitian, the rein, you know, slips down a little. Well, they were claiming that these were whips and that they were whipping the Haitians. They are liars.
They are liars.
Reins.
And the, and the reins they use on the horses down there for Border Patrol are the long reins, and they're the split reins.
Exactly.
You know, and that all comes from a standpoint of being able to easily and more quickly direct the horse to go one way or the other. And
exactly.
So, I mean, the, you know, this business, oh, they're using them as whips. Bull crap.
They're crap. First of all, they're not long enough to be whips. They are reins. And if you see the pictures, you can easily see that they're reins. This is just more nonsense to let these people into this country and disperse them everywhere. You want to end or slow down the pandemic? Close the damn borders already. Close them. Except to legal. You never close legal immigration. But close the borders completely. Our northern border and our southern border.
Yep.
And our eastern and west, you know, port of entries. Also, close it all down.
It's the only way you're going to manage the situation. And,
exactly.
You know, Governor DeSantis in Florida was right. It was over a month ago. It was maybe a month and a half ago now. He told Biden, he said, I don't want to hear squat from you until you close the borders. And he was talking about COVID.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So DeSantis was right. Finally, in the quick hitters tonight, we head out to Arizona. Folks, you may have heard that Arizona has been doing an audit of the 2020 election, and more and more information regarding that audit has been coming out. And now it seems that they had almost, not quite, but almost 400,000 voter registrations. Now, these would be people that registered to vote and voted. Almost 400,000 of them had no match with the Social Security Administration. None.
Right. And that number came out to 58% of the voters, folks.
Whoa.
That's extremely, extremely serious. In order for you to have a voter ID, you have to have a Social Security number. That's what proves that you're a United States citizen. I mean, this is a joke.
Right.
Biden did not win the election. It's being proven more and more every day.
What they did in Arizona was they ran a search engine deal, a cross-check type deal. Mm-hmm. They had about 673,000 voters that had applied to vote in Arizona. So they ran those 673,000, 58% of them came back with no Social Security record whatsoever, nothing.
Right. Well, something interesting is that usually Arizona compares about 2,000 new voter ID applications with the SSA per month. But in July of 2021, That number had jumped to more than 70,000 per week, and then that dropped back down again to several hundred in September.
Wow.
So right then and there, there's monkey business going on.
Something ain't right.
No.
What you're saying, something ain't right.
Yeah, what's right is we have somebody illegally occupying the White House.
Well,
he's there. Most of the times, you know, he's in his room in Delaware.
Or riding his bicycle. I swear to God, that thing had training wheels. I swear to God. Yeah. We're going to learn more and more and more in the next week or so, I think, coming out of this audit in Arizona, especially in Maricopa County. They're finding hundreds of thousands of highly irregular things in Maricopa County alone. So, you know, it's going to be very interesting as this continues to progress.
Well, let me add one thing. I just came across something very interesting published today. Mike Lindell, Mr. Pillow, he's going to bring the election fraud case concerning Arizona to the Supreme Court in an effort to overturn the 2020 election.
I wish him a lot of luck. I really do.
So do I.
You know, it's going to be something we're going to have to keep our eye on. Because they're also finding irregularities like what they're finding in Arizona, what they're finding in Maricopa County, Arizona. They're also finding in Fulton County, Georgia. They're also finding some of this kind of shenanigans going on in Michigan and Wisconsin.
Yes. So it's across the country, just like was claimed right from day one.
You know,
and if,
go ahead.
Craig, look at it this way. 80 million people did not vote for that thing that stands before the UN and just makes a mockery of himself in this country.
God, he was awful
today. I don't believe 80 million Americans voted for him.
You know, over the weekend, I gotta wrap this segment up, but over the weekend, I was at a car show and hot rods and all sorts of great stuff. But they have a thing where all the public that goes to the car show can get a little form, and they can vote on their favorite, and that one gets a what they call the People's Choice Trophy. Okay.
Okay.
So you see people run around the car show with their little, you know, thing to mark which car they think is the best of the whole show, and I was doing a live remote there. For the Twister Radio, one of our local radio, great local radio station that I do some work for. And I told Jim Lamley, who's the owner of the station, he was doing the remote, I was working with him. And I said, you know, Jim, clear down at one end of the street, there's this broken down old heap of a wreck of a car down there. It only runs on one cylinder. You can't even make it turn to the right. As far as I can tell, it's worthless, but I said the Dominion voting machines that are tallying the People's Choice have already given it 81 million votes. You know, because let's face it, you know, something stinks in that 2020 mm-hmm. election, and you can smell it upwind.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
But yeah, Biden gave that speech at the UN today. He was horrible.
Absolutely horrendous. He was slurring his speech. He looked sleepy. You could always tell when he had a focus on the teleprompter, or if you notice a certain look came over his face when something was probably being fed into his earbud.
I noticed that too.
Yeah.
At one point, he referred to the United Nations as the United States.
As the United States, yeah. What a freak show. What a disgrace to this country.
Ugh. France got up and walked out. I can't blame them.
Well, they already threw, you know, or I should say they didn't throw him out. They brought their ambassador home from here. I don't blame them.
Nope, don't blame them.
The submarine deal in Australia. The people forget France has been our longest ally going way back to the Revolutionary War. And it took Joe Biden and, you know, as Obama's de facto third term in office to actually turn France against us.
Well, you know, it's going to get worse. That's all I can tell you. Hang on. It's going to get worse. Folks, we've made it to the end of the segment. We got to take a quick break a little bit later, half an hour from now. Diane's going to provide some specifics regarding General Mark Milley with her op-ed, Treason, Mutiny, and Lies Told. But when we come back from this bottom of the hour break, I'm going to give you some background with Milley, a four-star threat to national security. Stay with us. There's more Right Side Patriots after this.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Hi guys, Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on rspradio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot and Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor getting you through a Tuesday night edition of the show, and if you miss any part of it, become one of the pod people. All you have to do is go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning, click the podcast button, and thanks to Podbean, there we will be.
Yes, we will.
All right, so Diane and I both decided we're going to take on General Mark Milley this week, and what I'm going to provide you here is just some of the background, and you know, this situation is unlike anything we have seen in our lifetime, Diane, really.
Yeah, such traitorous actions.
Unbelievable stuff. Milley, a four-star threat to national security. Let me start with a quote. First and foremost, I am incapable of subjecting myself to the unlawful, unethical, immoral, and tyrannical order to sit still and allow a serum to be injected into my flesh against my will and better judgment. It is impossible for this so-called vaccine to have been studied adequately to determine the long-term effects, unquote. With those words and a few more, U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Paul Douglas Haig resigned after 19 years of serving our country. He will also be foregoing his pension, but the COVID mandate, a la Biden, wasn't his only reason for hanging it up. Haig also said, and again I quote, an ideologically Marxist takeover of the United States government at their upper echelons and a complete lack of confidence in the Biden administration, unquote. The lieutenant colonel also wrote, quote, I would like nothing more than to continue in the Army to reach my 20 years of active federal service and retire with my pension. However, I instead will join those who have served before me in pledging my life, my fortune, and my sacred honor to continue resisting the eternal and ever mutable forms of oppression and tyranny, both from enemies outside our nation's borders and those within. Haig is in a position to know that even our military has been infiltrated by Marxists and that the swamp now has its own military. The leader of Swamp Force seems to be none other than General Mark Milley, who, according to allegations in a new book from Bob Woodward called Peril, co-written by Robert Costa from the Washington Post, that in the waning days of the Trump administration, Milley called his Chinese counterpart, General Li Zhuxiang, and told him that should Trump issue orders to attack China, he, Milley, would immediately get word to China so that such an attack would not be a surprise. Diane, I swear to you, that's treason if it's true.
Oh, apparently, from what we're getting, it is true. But treason is a word, you know, that tends to be thrown around at the drop of the hat. However, we really have seen quite a few examples of real treason going on since the Obama years, haven't we?
Well, we have, you know, and some on our side of the aisle, the right side of the political aisle, tend to want to apply the word treason where it doesn't really apply. But in this case, being the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff under President Trump and an army general, to call the enemy and literally tell them that you would betray your own country by taking action that would surely result in a high number of American deaths is treason. Mm-hmm. And there simply isn't any other term that applies. But that's not the end of it. According to Woodward's book, Milley also allegedly held a meeting with his senior staff and told them in no uncertain terms, quote, "No matter what you are told, you do the procedure, you do the process, and I'm part of the process," unquote. Milley was referring to a case where the president might have ordered a nuclear strike in his final days in office. And Milley said, quote, "You never know what a president's trigger point is," unquote. That meeting allegedly took place in Milley's office inside the Pentagon on January 8, 2021, and included any military action ordered by President Trump, not just nuclear. And after Milley gave his edict to his staff, he said, "Got it?" To which the staff replied, "Yes, sir." If this accounting of that meeting is true, then not only should Milley be brought up on charges of treason, but so too should all the members of his staff who agreed to go along with him in what would have been a military coup. Obviously, according to the allegations in Woodward's book, Milley and apparently his senior staff had all bought into the Marxist propaganda that Trump was a ticking time bomb and would go rogue in his final days in office. That, of course, was a flat-out fabrication. But here's the real and present danger of Milley's treasonous actions. In calling his counterpart in China and stating that he would forewarn China of any military action, and by giving treasonous orders to his senior staff, Milley set the stage for China or their allies to do whatever they wanted to do in those final 2 weeks of Trump's presidency. Diane, had China wanted to take military action against Taiwan, or had China given the green light to North Korea or Iran to take action against either the U.S. or our allies, they could have done so without any fear of immediate reprisal.
Yeah, and it's very shocking if you sit back and imagine what could have happened, but didn't happen, because Trump was not the loose cannon that Milley claimed he was, or the Democrats claimed he was. Trump knew how to lead this country. But behind the president's back, Milley was actually forming a mutiny squad of sorts.
Exactly. I mean, look, folks, imagine a situation where North Korea launched airstrikes against Japan or South Korea, missile strikes, right? Imagine a situation in which Iran launched against Israel. Milley had given his word to China that no military action taken by the U.S. in Trump's final 2 weeks in office would come as a surprise. And he ordered his own staff to ignore any and all orders coming from the White House, as alleged in Woodward's book. Our allies, and potentially our own military, if not our country, were in great danger. When questioned about the call Milley allegedly made to his Chinese counterpart, Milley spokesman Josh Rogan, a Washington Post columnist, tweeted, "The chairman of the Joint Chiefs regularly communicates with chiefs of defense across the world, including with China and Russia. These conversations remain vital to improving mutual understanding of U.S. national security interests, reducing tensions, providing clarity, and avoiding unintended consequences or conflict," unquote. In fact, I've got that entire canned statement. You can read it if you go to thenationalpatriot.com. It's embedded in this particular commentary. But that wasn't a denial. That's actually confirming it and then trying to whitewash it. Now, somebody in Milley's office, the day of that January 8th meeting, somebody on his senior staff should have blown the whistle, if not immediately relieved Milley of his duty and had him placed under arrest pending a full military investigation. That apparently did not happen because apparently nobody in that meeting disagreed with Milley. According to the book, Milley went around the room and one by one he got the allegiance of every officer, not to the Constitution nor to the military code of ethics, but to him. The allegations leveled in Woodward's book should be bombshells. They should be, but they're not. And I suspect that if true, there could well be a deep end of the swamp that includes some pretty well-placed brass. The problem we have here is simple. Can we trust Bob Woodward? If you go back about 10 years, and really for much longer than that, Woodward has used deep sources who refuse to come forward and go on the record. Some say he's more interested in selling books than he is in getting to the truth as an investigative reporter. Ben Bradley, Woodward's editor at the Post, was reluctant at best to print a lot of what Woodward brought to his desk because the sources were hidden too deep in the shadows. That, in fact, has followed Woodward since he and Carl Bernstein wrote All the President's Men. In 1987, Woodward wrote that he somehow managed to sneak into former CIA chief William Casey's hospital room and got some sort of a deathbed confession regarding federal money that had been illegally diverted to Nicaraguan rebels. The problem was, at least according to those closest to William Casey, is that the former spy chief was completely unable to speak, and he had a security detail posted outside of his room 24/7. Diane, in Woodward's book, Wired, which is a biography of John Belushi, he got a lot of key elements wrong, and according to Belushi's best friend, Dan Aykroyd, some of what Woodward penned was simply made up.
Yeah, but the whole problem is that some of the stuff Woodward has written has proven to be true.
Right.
While other things have not proven to be true. So you got to take his book Peril with a grain of salt until some of the sources that he's quoted are willing to come forward and verify what he wrote as truth.
Yeah, it's kind of a jury still out situation on whether or not
it's
Woodward
hearsay.
But look, Peril is co-written by Robert Costa, Now, he's a Washington Post political writer. He's also a political analyst for NBC News and for MSNBC. So we know well that he's a partisan shill for the Marxists in D.C., and he's a member of the propaganda arm of the Democrat National Committee. Given that neither Woodward nor Costa are required to give up their sources, and according to press releases regarding this book, Peril, Woodward and Costa interviewed more than 200 sources, none of which are named. The question is, will any of those sources step forward and verify the allegations against Milley? That remains to be seen. So, in the meanwhile, who can we trust? Milley is a known anti-Trump shill who reportedly got into a shouting match with Trump in the White House Situation Room. According to Axios, Milley shouted at President Trump that he, quote, was not and would not be in charge of the federal response to protests for racial justice, unquote, which prompted the then president to yell back, quote, you can't fucking talk to me like that, unquote. Now, there's a fairly good chance that such an argument never really occurred because Trump certainly would have fired Milley on the spot, but we do know that Milley is on the record as being woke, and he's in contradiction to Republican views regarding social justice, whatever that is. It's always possible that Milley himself is the key source, and he is the one who's just making stuff up in an effort to tarnish Trump leading into 2022, and before Trump announces another run for the Oval Office in 2024. While other members of the Department of Defense claim that Milley doesn't have a political bone in his body, authors, aside from Woodward and Costa, have also detailed Milley's distrust and dislike of President Trump on several occasions. There was also a very well-publicized meeting between Nancy Pelosi and General Milley near the end of the Trump presidency, where Pelosi tried to get Milley to take the nuclear football away from President Trump because she said, quote, he's crazy, unquote. Now, while Milley assured Pelosi that there were safeguards, he also reportedly told Pelosi that he agreed with everything she had said. So, how do we discern what is and isn't true regarding the allegations made by Woodward and Costa regarding General Mark Milley? His ethics are most definitely suspect, as he did leave Americans and our allies behind enemy lines in Afghanistan, and he's taken no responsibility for doing so, nor has he offered his resignation in the wake of it. I suspect that we'll have to wait and see what happens over time. But remember, former U.S. Marine Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Scheller, who, like the U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Paul Douglas Haig I mentioned earlier in this commentary, just recently resigned his commission and called out Marine Corps Commandant General David H. Berger, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Mark Milley, for their horrible handling of the Afghan situation. What else could Scheller, or for that matter, Haig, know about Milley and his alleged treasonous actions? Milley himself won't verify the allegations, but he's not denying them either, and I suspect that not a single of those 200-plus sources will ever come forward, and neither Woodward nor Costa will reveal either the sources or any of the evidence. Don't expect anything to happen, even if the allegations are 100% true, because, Diane, as you well know, the swamp will not turn on one of its own. But if the allegations of treason against General Mark Milley are true, then it seems that traitors have now become a protected class. God help us all.
Well, we have to remember one thing. If we are successful in taking back the House in 2022, you can bet there will be an investigation into him.
Oh, I definitely believe that.
If we don't take it back, it's going to get swept under the rug.
But let
if
me
we
add,
do, And you're going to find it's going to go all the way back to number 44.
I think you're right. But let me ask you this. Considering the fact that we now highly suspect Mark Milley of being a part of the swamp, okay, as if true, these actions are treasonous, traitorous, mutinous, whatever you want to call them, okay, certainly he can't be the only one in the military, so will a military tribunal or a military court-martial have any effect on one of their own? If such a tribunal or a court-martial is staffed with other members of the swamp who feel the same as Milley, who are not loyal to this country, what happens?
It can always go to civilian court. You always have the case for mutiny, which I'll bring up in my segment. It's a little deeper than it seems on the surface, because what Milley actually is, he is the swamp's military leader. He's right. The head of the military part of the swamp.
Right.
His actions have proven that.
And that's why I say he's the leader of it. That means there's got to be more of it.
Well, you can just guess who's in on there. You got McMaster.
Right.
You've got, what's his name?
What about the current Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin?
Definitely.
You know, he's got to be a part of it.
Blinken, you can throw Blinken in there. There's a whole bunch of them that you can throw in there.
But I'm just talking military guys, so military people. I mean, if there's a lot of this going on in the military, and remember, in the beginning of this commentary, I bring you a lieutenant colonel who just resigned from the Army, skipped his pension and everything because of a Marxist takeover of the military.
And that's what's happening. Now, we're not talking the rank and file here. We're talking the hierarchy of the military right now appears to be dirty.
Well, and so that's why I ask, more or less rhetorically, if this goes to a court-martial situation, I mean, if they have the rank and file sit in as the jurors, for lack of a better term, in a court-martial, I'm going to feel pretty confident they're going to make the right decision. But if they've got upper-level brass adjudicating that court-martial, then I think, like you said earlier, it gets swept under the rug.
Or this could be postponed until 2024, and let's say Trump gets in, or DeSantis with Kristi Noem gets in. They can put it off till then. You know, it's working its way through the process.
Right.
And then all hell would break loose in 2024.
I'll tell you what, this is shocking when you really boil it down. When you've got the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff calling his Chinese counterpart and saying, look, if we're going to launch any military action to get you, it will not be a surprise. I will call you ahead of time. Holy crap.
Yeah, that is out and out treason. And I'm going to get into that a little more in detail in a few minutes. But it's easy to throw the word treason around, but you've got to have the Constitution backing up what is a treasonous action. And I believe the Constitution does back it up, and I'm going to tell you why.
You know, and this is why we said we're doing this kind of in tandem tonight. What I've given you here, folks, is really the background. Okay?
Right.
In a few minutes, excuse me, in a few minutes, Diane's going to give you more specifics. All right. And you've got to look at both of these, you know, both of these pieces as a longer entity.
Because it's almost like a two-parter with different titles.
Yeah, in a weird way, it kind of is, you know.
Yeah.
but you've got to look at this stuff and say, holy crap, you know, if this is true. And that's, we got to couch everything with that, because like I say in here, you don't know about Bernstein. You know, I mean, Woodward, you don't know about this guy, mm-hmm. you know?
But you know what's sad about all of this, Craig? All of this, everything that has happened could have been prevented if President Trump, upon his election, had cleaned house of every single person appointed by Obama.
Right.
He tried for bipartisanship, and you've got to give him credit for that, because we're not supposed to be a partisan government. We're supposed to be bipartisan. But he should have cleaned house from top to bottom of anyone even remotely connected to the Obama administration.
And this is no exception to that rule.
Yes.
You know.
And I'm talking military as well. Yes.
Yep. From the brass on down. You know.
Yes.
Folks, you can get this commentary two different places. You can go to thenationalpatriot.com or rspradio1.com. You can get the link in either place. So mm-hmm. what we ask is that you grab the link and you share it everywhere. Now, conveniently, I've got the link to Diane's op-ed at the bottom of this one. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So even if you, and we want you to share both links. Okay? I mean, Diane's link for her op-ed, that's thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com or rspradio1.com. She's got the link to my commentary at the bottom of hers. So even if you share
only one of them.
Oh, at the top. That's right. So even if you share only one, you're going to have the links to both. But please share both links. That's what we're asking you to do. This stuff is the national security implications of what Milley has done here. Is staggering.
Absolutely staggering. And no, he's not alone, guys. That's even more staggering.
That's the scary part. We know about Milley. We now know pretty much about Lloyd Austin. But mm-hmm. how far this goes, how deep this goes, we don't know yet.
There's also Mad Dog. Don't be surprised if Mad Dog's name doesn't come up here eventually.
Something's
McMaster's name. I think this goes way up to the upper echelon of the Pentagon.
I'm afraid. Well, I mean, obviously it does because, you know, Lloyd Austin is the Secretary of Defense.
Exactly.
And Milley is the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, this one's going to stink from the top down.
Yeah. Yep.
You know,
but we got to do something about it. We can't keep letting everything go. The Republicans in Congress need to grow a set and take a stand. And if there's a better place to do this than at this level, I don't know what it would be.
Yeah, I don't
because
either.
This affects our national security.
I mean, when the chairman of the Joint Chiefs is promising to tell somebody that we would be launching a strike against them,
right?
Holy crap!
Exactly.
I mean, All right, look, we made it here. We're just about at the top of the hour. We're close enough. Okay, that's what mm-hmm. I'm saying. We're close enough. We're going to take the top of the hour break, get a couple of station IDs in, because I want to get to Diane's op-ed here, which is kind of the natural following for the background that I just provided. Again, mine is Milley, a four-star threat to national security. You can get it at thenationalpatriot.com or rspradio1.com. We'll take the break, and on the way out of that, Diane's got it with treason, mutiny, and lies told. So stay with us. There's plenty more on Right Side Patriots after this.
Hi, guys. Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sori. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sori at the Patriot Factor. Getting you through the Tuesday night edition of the show, and if you miss any part of it, go to rspradio1.com tomorrow morning, click the podcast button, and presto, there we are. All right, so we have both taken on General Mark Milley for tonight's show and this week's commentaries and op-eds. I gave you the background. Diane, let's get into specifics with treason, mutiny, and lies told.
Okay, and let's start with this quote. The chain of command runs from the president to the secretary of defense, not through the chairman. That was said by former secretary of defense Christopher Miller. Now, by now, we all know that according to Bob Woodward's book, Peril, four-star General Mark Milley, the now head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, first appointed by Obama as the Army's Chief of Staff in 2015, went on to serve in the Trump and now the Biden administration, and is the very general who not only oversaw Biden's cowardly Afghanistan failure, but who also secretly corroborated via a phone call on October 30th of last year and in another phone call on January 8th of this year with his Chinese military counterpart, one General Li Zhizheng of the People's Liberation Army. Done behind the back of then-President Trump, General Milley supposedly did so to warn said counterpart if and when Trump was going to launch a military strike against China, giving them a heads up, if you will. Now you can read about that, and you just heard about it in Craig's article, Milley, a four-star threat to national security. Now, in my article, however, I will deal with the fallout and ramifications of Milley's what would be a treasonous action. That is, if the said accusations being levied against him are true, something that still has not been proven one way or another. And why? Because none of Woodward's supposed sources have come forward to either support or deny said allegations to date. But no matter the outcome, the fact remains that neither an elected nor an appointed official who deliberately and with malice intended subverts the rule of governmental protocol must be allowed to stay in office. And if the accused did have what they considered to be legitimate concerns about the then president being unfit to hold office, which it seems was Milley's concerns regarding President Trump, the course of action he should have taken would have been to abide by the recourse as laid out in the Constitution's 25th Amendment, as doing anything to the contrary does indeed betray not only said accuser's oath of office, but our country as well. And if all now in play is true, what General Mark Milley has committed in his calculated decision to give the enemy even an inkling of possible forthcoming U.S. military action is, as per Article 3, Section 3 of the Constitution, an act of treason against these United States. How so? Because while the Constitution does specifically limit the offense of treason to only two specific types of conduct, as in, number one, levying war against the United States, or two, adhering to the enemies of the United States, giving them aid and comfort, what we more commonly refer to as aiding and abetting the enemy, Milley's warning to his Chinese counterpart does indeed meet that very criteria. And Craig, how could it not? For these supposedly are the very words General Milley spoke to his Chinese counterpart, General Li. Quote, "We are not going to attack or conduct any kinetic operations against you. General Li, you and I have known each other for 5 years. If we're going to attack, I'm going to call you ahead of time. It's not going to be a surprise." End quote.
You know, our founders and framers were pretty smart fellows. And thanks to a treasonous snake by the name of Benedict Arnold, they kind of saw Milley coming.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And so when they put things together for the birth of a brand new nation, they made sure to include a specific protocol for dealing with the ilk of a Mark Milley. So what is that mm-hmm. protocol?
Well, let's start by saying treason is an act of the highest order, so it demands that a timely military court-martial take place, with appropriate punishment being adjudicated if the general was to be found guilty of treason, for his actions and his words have jeopardized our national security, as well as he knowingly and willingly put we the people's lives in danger. And while the truth regarding his guilt or innocence will take time to sort out, investigations and hearings always slow down the judicial process, whether said process be in a military or a civilian court, I believe the general still needs to be immediately removed from his duties, for his credibility has not only been unequivocally tarnished, but he has put the all-important chain of command in jeopardy, command where the president alone is in control of our military, something that does not bode well for any president's administration. And while some might claim that General Milley was just doing his job, what with their erroneously believing that government officials supposedly have the go-ahead to communicate with their counterparts in other countries, that simply is not the case, for it depends on both what capacity they're acting in and if they have the official permission to do so. And in Milley's case, he would have needed said permission from former Acting Secretary of Defense Christopher Miller, the man who led the Pentagon after the 2020 election through Biden's inauguration. He would have needed that to have done what he did, but Secretary Miller, whom General Milley obviously did not tell about either of his calls, neither before nor after he had made them, has publicly stated that he, quote, did not and would not ever authorize even the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, which General Milley was and unfortunately still is, to secretly speak to his Chinese counterpart without both his and the president's knowing and approving of such a conversation. Now, it also must be remembered that General Milley, even in his capacity as the country's highest-ranking military officer, is prohibited from exercising executive authority to command our military forces, as he has but one role in the president's administration, that is to provide, quote, military-specific advice, end quote, to the president, not sneak behind said president's back in an effort to undermine his authority. And with this being what Milley, if true, has done, is why we now find former Secretary of Defense Miller also having publicly stated that Milley's actions, again if true, are a, quote, disgraceful and unprecedented act of insubordination, and therefore has called for General Milley to resign immediately. And for this reason, for stating immediately is sound. For the fact is that the United States Armed Forces, from its beginning, has, as per Miller, always, quote, operated under the inviolable principle of civilian control of the military through the president, as our Constitution requires. Therefore, Craig, as per the Constitution, General Milley must now be removed from his position, for to do otherwise is in direct violation of the rule of law.
Well, obviously, Secretary Miller is a pretty staunch supporter of the U.S. Constitution. I think that goes without saying. So, obviously, he's right about that. He's kind of a no-nonsense kind of guy. But when you look at the situation as it presents itself in the here and now, are there enough people like Miller, staunchly connected to the Constitution, that will do anything? Or are we in kind of a wishy-washy gray area?
No, there's people that want to do something. However, you know, in today's America, it seems that for some, sadly for way far too many, the Constitution doesn't matter. For what are the chances of General Milley ever being brought to trial, let alone being found guilty of treason? Right now, I'd say little to none, what with Joe Biden recently stating that, quote, I have great confidence in General Milley, end quote, even after Senator Marco Rubio from my state of Florida and others in Congress rightfully asked Biden to fire Milley, the man they accused of not only having overstepped his authority, but who did work to, quote, actively undermine the sitting commander-in-chief in his final months in office, a form of mutiny, I'd say. And so the Democrats, as expected, are now circling the wagons around the very general who continues to claim that his conversations with General Lee were, quote, intended to convey reassurance to the Chinese military and were in line with his responsibilities as chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, something we know, thanks to former Secretary of Defense Christopher Miller, simply is not the case. And we also now see Milley's own spokesman, Colonel Dave Butler, stating that Milley acted within his authority as the most senior uniformed advisor to the president and to the Secretary of Defense, and that the general does regularly communicate with his counterparts worldwide, including in China and Russia, in an effort to help reduce tensions, provide clarity, and avoid, quote, unintended consequences or conflict. Further stating that, quote, his calls with the Chinese and others in October and January were in keeping with these duties and responsibilities, conveying reassurance in order to maintain strategic stability, end quote. Butler added insult to injury by saying that, quote, all calls from the chairman to his counterparts, including those reported, are staffed, coordinated, and communicated with the Department of Defense and the interagency, which we all now know simply is not true. And so the man, the general, who also took it upon himself to call other key military leaders from the UK, Russia, and Pakistan to reassure them that the US government was strong and, quote, in control, forgets that President Trump was still our president at the time he made those calls, which was on January 6th, immediately after the Capitol's so-called riots. And this means that General Milley again took it upon himself to speak out of line, not as an advisor to the still-in-office President Trump, but as a man so out of control that he thought himself to be our country's savior. So maybe General Mark Milley should not only be charged with treason, but again with mutiny as well, for his actions on both counts did exceed his authority. And besides, in his overzealous belief that President Trump would dare to issue a nuclear attack on China, and in his telling reporters that Democrat lawmakers, quote, were counting on him to avoid the disaster, which we knew could happen at any moment, end quote, Milley's own mental instability alone says all the truth we need to know. Case closed.
You know, that's a really good point. Mm-hmm. He went rogue.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I don't know how else to put it.
And then by, like you mentioned in your article, by him getting basically allegiance from those he surrounded himself with, that is mutiny.
There's no other way to look at it.
None.
I mean, if this is true, if what Woodward and Costa wrote in this book is true,
mm-hmm.
okay, there's no other way to look at this. Now,
no, there isn't.
Will we ever know 100% if it's true or not? I mean,
I hope so.
I hope so, but will we? I mean, I know it's kind of an open-ended question, but, you know, I mean, unless sources come forward and confirm the accounts that are in the book, we'll never know.
Well, you know what? Someone is going to have to talk.
Well,
there were ways, and I'm not talking torture here, folks, but there are ways of getting people to talk for their own benefit, for their own protection. You know, Millie can turn on the people who have turned on him.
Right, right.
This man in his own right is as unstable as Joe Biden.
In a different arena, yeah.
Yes, yeah, of course. But it's still mental instability. He thinks himself that our country's future depended on him. He's got a Napoleon narcissistic complex going on there.
Very much so. Here's an interesting question, I guess, for lack of a better way to phrase it. You know, when you boil this whole thing down and you look at, let's say it actually happened, okay? Let's say those phone calls were actually made. Those, you know, we got the quotes right. Let's just say that's all true, okay? One of the ways that you kind of get the idea that I mean, I'm leaning towards it being true is because... Yeah, because Millie has not come out and denied it.
Correct. And that right then and there, not his spokespeople have denied it. Nobody has denied it. This man could be arrogant enough in his own narcissism that he actually believes he was doing the right thing.
Right.
Putting the Constitution in second place, putting his oath that he swore to as far as the military, in second place, I'm America's savior. I'm exempt.
I mean, his own staff has come out, and like I said in my piece, they tried to whitewash it. They've tacitly confirmed it and then tried to whitewash it. We have not heard one denial that these phone calls took place, not from Millie and not from his staff. That makes me wonder if Millie knows this is true, and he somehow knows that if he denies it at this point, then the evidence will come out.
It could be. This whole thing could be a cover-up. This whole scenario that's happening right now could have been expected. And cover-ups are in place. This whole thing, you know, obviously Millie has a traitor within his own ranks. There are people in his own ranks that, if true, spoke to Woodward and Costa. So there could be, you know, like locks and keys straight down the line here.
Right.
But eventually, I think someone's going to sing.
I hope so. I certainly hope so, because we can't. And I, yeah, okay. So this happened against President Trump. I don't want to see this kind of crap happening against any president. Okay, what? We have a constitution for a reason. We have a military code of ethics for a reason. We have a chain of command for a reason. Okay, and the minute you let one guy get away with it, they're all going to try it.
Not only that, everybody's overlooking something. This whole administration is Obama's de facto third term in office. Don't be shocked if his hand or one of his little tentacles is not in this as well.
Well, and you know, even before this all came up about Millie, okay, I alluded a couple of articles back, this before this stuff on Millie broke, that members of our top brass are more loyal to Obama than they are to the Constitution or to the U.S.
I've said it since day one, when what's his name got fired? Trump's original Secretary of Defense,
Mike Flynn.
Mike Flynn. All of a sudden, I had a Biden moment there.
Oh, my remember God.
I Flynn's name because I'm thinking of McMaster. And,
yeah, General and, Michael Flynn.
Yeah, Dog and all them. Remember, right from the beginning, I have said Trump is making a mistake not firing these holdovers from the Obama administration. Is he making the mistake on purpose? No. He made the mistake because he wasn't a politician and didn't understand the politics involved. These people have never left their loyalty to Obama. Remember, McMaster and Mad Dog were Islamic condoners in their own right.
Right.
Okay, so this goes back even further than just Millie. This goes all the way back to the Obama administration.
Basically, there are two choices here, as I see it. Okay, when it comes to Mark Milley, either he did this on his own, it was organic, it was all him, or he was taking orders from somebody to do it. Now, if the latter is the case, those orders, I guarantee you, would have come from Obama. Okay, but there is that chance that, like you said, Diane, he could be so narcissistically warped that he saw himself as the savior and he was going to do what he was going to do.
Right. It's two possibilities. Because remember, who did he run to talk to right away? The queen of narcissism, Nancy Pelosi.
True.
You know, who thinks she can get away with everything under the sun, say anything she wants, and nothing is going to touch her. It's almost like two narcissists running towards each other.
Yeah, full speed.
Yeah, so you don't know. It could go either way, but even though I think he thought himself as our savior, even though I think there is an element of narcissism involved, I think he was his loyalty to a certain other person.
Well,
corrupted him.
I think you're probably right. I'm leaning in that direction myself. Again, if all this is true that's in the book, I am leaning in that direction myself, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Who did he call to say, hey, look, if Trump's going to launch an attack, I'm going to give you the heads up? Who did he call?
China.
Right. And which president do we know of in our lifetime that hung an ornament of Mao Zedong on the White House Christmas tree?
Obama.
Okay.
Yep.
You know, I mean, obviously Biden is in deep with China because of Hunter Biden.
Right? Yeah, well, Biden's in it for the money.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and Biden's not going to do anything, you know, to harm China, that's for sure.
No.
But I'm not anywhere near convinced that Biden had the wherewithal to order Milley to do anything, because I don't think Biden can even order his own pudding at 4 o'clock.
Biden doesn't do anything on his own. He's told what to do.
You know,
remember,
right.
Psaki slipped and said, you know, things to that effect,
well,
and so have others. Biden is a front man for Obama's de facto third term in office.
Well, and so who's pulling the strings? It all comes back to Obama.
Obama, and he's being financed by George Soros.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know,
we've said that since day one.
And every week, it seems, we get just another little piece of that puzzle.
Yeah.
And if this is true, this is another piece of that puzzle.
Absolutely. You know, Craig, one day we always talk about we put the puzzle pieces together.
Uh-huh.
I think maybe in a pretty short period of time, we need to start building that puzzle again.
I was thinking the same thing earlier, because this is just, I mean, good Lord, what's going on right now is insane.
Very insane.
It also seems transparent to me at the same time.
Mm-hmm. It's obvious.
Yeah.
It will hit, if this is true, and we, you know, have to, not that we don't think it's true, but for legal reasons, we got to say if it's true, this is the biggest affront to the U.S. Constitution that has ever happened in our nation's history. This is a complete trampling of the Constitution.
Uh-huh. Yep. It certainly is. Folks, you can get Diane's op-ed, okay, under the title Treason, Mutiny, and Lies Told at either thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com or rspradio1.com. Either way, either place you go, you get the link, you share it. If you go to rspradio1.com, Diane's link is there, so's mine. One place.
Yes.
And we've got each other's articles linked in our articles, so just get it out there. Get this stuff out there, because we have not heard the end of this situation with General Milley. This is going to be one of those specters that haunts this country for a long time to come.
And also, you notice that the mainstream media is already backing away from the story. So
hey,
they're backing away from it. You know, there's a lot of truth to it.
Good point. They're trying to distract us with everything. COVID,
yes.
The border, France, mm-hmm. the goofy speech at the UN today, the submarine deal, you know, everything mm-hmm. to get people's attention off of a treasonous oaf with four stars on his shoulder.
Right. Right.
But he's woke. Diane, he's woke. Isn't that redeeming?
That's as much redeeming as as Biden standing in front of the UN. We have serious issues going on in the world today, and he's talking about gay rights and transgender rights and 57 sexes and this and that and the other. Yeah, it all goes real well, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's a strange, strange world we live in.
Yeah, 2022, come on and hurry up.
Yeah, no kidding. Can't get here fast enough.
Yeah.
Folks, we hope
you... take back the House and, you know, really get a hold of the Senate folks. Biden, Kamala, whoever wants could sit there, but they're just figureheads.
Yeah, that's the dream.
Yes.
Right now, it's all we can hope for right now. Until then, we just got to hang on.
Yes, and we will try to do just that.
You know, part of that is getting the truth out there, and that's what Diane and I do. That's what The Patriot Factor is all about. That's what the National Patriot's all about. It's what Right Side Patriots is all about. You know, we just got to keep getting the information out there. That's what we have to do. Folks, we want to thank you for being part of the show tonight. If you missed any part of it, rspradio1.com. Tomorrow morning, podcast button. Podbean hosts our podcasts. We appreciate that. And Diane, that list of podcast downloaders is growing.
Yes, it's growing tremendously. And thank you, guys.
We love the pod people.
Yes.
Well, with that, Diane, I think we've come to the end of the show. Friday night, just going to be a talk show. We don't know what we're going to talk about yet because crap will happen between now and then.
I'm sure part of it will be Biden.
gee, you think? Let's wrap this one up, Diane. Time to say goodnight.
Nighty-night, folks.
Good night, everybody. Have a great week. We'll see you Friday.